from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey!
How we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. New week for the Killer Bees. How was your birthday? Pretty good?
Pretty laid back.
25 years old?
Didn't do a whole lot. The wife, who's vegan and doesn't eat the cake, insisted that we drive across town to get the dessert gallery cakes.
Oh.
Because the kids needed the best cake, which I didn't understand, but all in all, as long as you were with family, it was a good day.
Anything good? Do you have something good to eat? That's my favorite part about having a birthday,
is
that I eat very, what's the right word? Handsomely? I eat good. I'll just say that.
This is the worst part about it. Because I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you get to a certain point, and my buddy and I were talking about this when I was driving to work. The one thing with your birthday is you eat what you want to eat. You get a good meal that you want to eat, and you're around the family and whatever. The whole family is looking forward to fajitas.
Ooh.
And the wife and the kids and my buddy, who I'm talking to, actually got me a gift card so that dinner was on him for the whole family.
Nice of him.
So about 4 o'clock, I'm watching the Open and whatever, and Lisa says, why don't you try and place the order? I'm going to go give the kids a bath, and then we'll be ready. I'm like, okay, cool. She comes downstairs. I am like shaking my head and look like the whole world just kicked me in the groin. And she's like, what's wrong? I go, you're not going to believe this. She's like, what? I go, they said they have a power grid issue. They're not accepting takeout. She's like, no, they didn't. I go, yeah, but they said it might be resolved within an hour. So we called at 4. That was 4. We called at 5. And they said, we're still working on it. We called at 5:30 and they said, yeah, we're shutting the whole thing down for the night. We're not taking any more orders. And I could hear people in the background. I put it on speakerphone for Lisa. So I go, well, wait a minute. If we come in, can we sit in the restaurant? And there was this long pause. And she goes, no, there's no one doing that either. And I was just like, well, that kind of screws the whole thing up. So we didn't have any good dinner.
There's not another place you like to go to? It's the only one?
In Sugar Land, it's really tough. There's really not many choices.
That's
not a big Chewy's guy. Like some people
are. I like the happy hour drinks and their jalapeno.
Yeah,
ranch.
The drinks, and a lot of people like the jalapeno dip and the queso. I'm not for the food itself. It's not my top of my list. And Papacito's is kind of out of the way a little bit, and so we passed.
That stinks.
It sucked.
Brendan, did you have a good Father's Day?
Oh, great Father's Day.
Good. I'm happy you had a very good Father's Day.
Video games all day long.
Good Father's. That excites me. Yeah. It was a good Father's Day. What's our concern level of the Astros injuries? We'll get to the games that they played. Also, the Astros are through this 34-game stretch now where they played teams that are at or below 500. Yep. We'll have to recap that a little bit later on as well.
At least they're healthy for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the injuries are a concern. I was going to ask you about that. What is your worry level with the Astros injury? We saw Diaz. I knew that Diaz hurt his shoulder on that diving play the day before they put Pena on the IL. He mentioned that he aggravated it then re-aggravated it over the weekend. Oh, man. Yordan Alvarez gave everybody a scare.
Ooh.
And then, of course, some of the other injuries. You still have Lance McCullers coming back. What's your concern level about the injuries for the Astros right now? Pena on the IL?
I think it's ramped up simply because of the fact that, like you said, because the schedule changes. It would be one thing if they were still in the middle of this stretch where they were playing teams 500 or below where you can get away with a couple guys being out because you still should outmatch them talent-wise and should be able to win series even if you don't win every single game, and it shouldn't bother you. But the fact that you're kind of getting into a gauntlet part of your schedule where it's Mets and Yankees consuming a good portion of it, you should have a little bit more concern because you want to be at full strength, not just because you want to win the series and win these games against good opponents, but you also want, as a barometer, to send a message and see how you stack up pound for pound against the best in baseball. And like it or not, the top two teams in baseball, record-wise and otherwise, are the Mets and the Yankees, and that's why you want to be at your best to kind of judge where you sit, and you're not going to be able to do that if you're missing your best player in Yordan Alvarez, and you have several other key players hurt.
Yeah, 8 in a row coming up, actually more than that, against the New York teams, but 2 against the Mets starting Tuesday, then you play 4 against the Yankees in the Bronx, day off in New York, then you have the Mets, then you have the Yankees again. to close out the month. So a lot of games coming up against the two highest records in all of baseball. But to your point, I think it's the barometer that's the most important thing, because I'm not worried about the Astros in terms of the standings. They're going to run away with the American League West. Mm-hmm. The real only sweat that I'm really concerned about for the Houston Astros as far as the regular season is concerned is the two seed. And you're all right now. You're four games up on Minnesota for the two spot in the American League playoffs. But you do want to see where the Astros, how they stack up against the Mets, the best record in the NL. You want to see how they stack up against the Yankees, the best record in the AL. I think we dodged a huge bullet. Like, when you ask the question, what's the concern level for the Astros? And if you want to weigh in, you can. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think we've dodged a big bullet in the city of Houston. The Yordan Alvarez injury, which is really weird how coy and avoiding Dusty Baker can be with the local media and the Astros just in general. Discomfort. Everything's discomfort.
It gives you a feeling of discomfort, actually.
Everything gives you a feeling of discomfort. But then Dusty Baker goes out and tells Buster Olney every single thing that Yordan Alvarez has ever experienced in his life. Like, that's kind of weird, and I'm sure insulting to the Houston sports media that covers the team every single day. But it looks like the Astros dodged a bullet with Yordan, because it looked like it was going to be the hamate injury, which I was concerned when he left the game. Anytime you look at a hitter looking at their palm of their hand, it's always a concern that they broke the hamate bone, which really isn't something that you see injured in any other sport. It is very much a baseball injury. It's not something that's going to bother you long term, but you have to get it surgically fixed. It takes six weeks.
The axe handle was created on the base of baseball bats.
Relieve some stress and pressure from that part. The most recent injury that we've seen, the hamate injury, was actually DeChambeau. DeChambeau broke hamate, which he's still recovering from. It's not the significance of the injury that bothers hitters long term. It's just recovering from a hand procedure and a surgery. Dusty telling Buster Olney yesterday that they avoided that and that he hopes that he's back in the lineup on Tuesday. So that's fine. Like, Yordan Alvarez missed one game, right? So if you dodge major concern there, you're fine with that. Jeremy Pena, you dodged major concern there because, oh no, that's his surgically repaired wrist that he's landing on. Oh no, the Astros are coy about how serious the thumb could be. But then they tell us, you know, the MRI, not severe, and that Jeremy Pena is going to be back relatively soon. I would even say the Diaz injury. Like, Diaz is a utility guy for a reason, right? He's not one of your everyday regulars. Now, he's valuable in a utility spot. There's no doubt about that. What he provides to you from that utility role, he can fill in at any single position. You love to have Diaz, and you want Diaz as healthy as can be. But this Astro team hasn't had serious injury to this point. So if you have a few minor injuries here, you have a stint to the injured list there with a Jeremy Pena. Lance McCullers is your most serious injury. Jake Overeasy. But you expect those guys back? Like, injuries are part of the season no matter who your baseball team is. Like, you're going to have injuries throughout a year. What really kills you is whenever those injuries either stack up or the length of those injuries prevent them from playing significant baseball. And because the Astros are running away with the AL West, nobody's out for the year, I'm not concerned about the Astros' injuries. I feel like they've been pretty fortunate, actually.
Well, I think there's two ways of looking at it. You know, the glass half full is, you're right, there was nothing that was going to be a long-term injury, and that's always a good thing. The glass half empty is you're probably going to be shorthanded against these good teams, and maybe that limits you in terms of your effectiveness to kind of get the best of and come out with a better record than you might otherwise against them. But it is the middle of the regular season. It doesn't have the kind of impact it would have if this was the playoffs. So you don't worry about it quite as much, because at the end of the day, like you said, as long as you're going to win the division and you're in one of the top two spots, the one thing that you should be concerned about isn't how you do against the Mets and Yankees now. It's how do you maintain that second spot while you get healthy? Because as long as you get healthy, and I, to be honest with you, Jeremy, I think they dodged two bullets. Because I think that the Pena injury could have been a lot more severe, too. And so you take arguably two of your best players, and Tucker's obviously in the mix along with Pena and Yordan. But to take two of those three guys that have such a vital importance to this team, mm-hmm. Pena also defensively, and realize that neither one of them is going to be, as Dusty alluded to with Yordan, it could have been a two-month thing, and it's not.
Yep.
So the fact that you avoided it in both those cases, that's the main thing. As long as you're going to be healthy at a certain point sooner rather than later, you understand that you might take some lumps, but you're not going to take a kick in the grapes for the rest of the season.
No, it seemed like they were concerned about the Hammett for Yordan, and that he was actually available yesterday, and Dusty said that they're hopeful to see him on Tuesday, which makes you think you might see him on Tuesday. Now, Pena, you know, does he come back as soon as his stint to the IL is up? Probably not, because they mentioned that he wasn't going to hold a bat for a week, although he was holding a bat when he was facing Lance McCullers Jr. In some live pitching, although the hitters were not swinging. The Diaz one's something that I'm monitoring, though. Like, I mean, if you're stacking up those three guys, which of these three do you wish would be out for 4 weeks? It would be Diaz, right? You don't want that from Yordan. Between the three of them?
Between the three of them, yes. The only
thing that's scary is
they're thin already in the infield. And then if Dubon's going to be your shortstop, though he made a nice play last night.
I think Dubon's better defensively than Diaz.
And do you?
Yep. He's got more range.
I'll tell you what.
Better arm.
Diaz made a couple of really, really good plays.
See, Diaz, but he has trouble getting to a lot of balls. Like, he does make the good plays, but he doesn't have the range.
And that turn in the ninth in the game, was it Thursday night or Wednesday night? Boy, I'll tell you, to get Presley out of a jam, he's got a gun, and he is deep in the hole the way he knows how to slide step, kind of slide up and pop up. Maybe you're right because Dubon's a little more lightweight and rangy. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of the arm and the solidness, I like what Diaz brings to the table.
I do, too. Like, this isn't me anti-Aledmys Diaz at all. But if you're asking me which of those three guys I would rather miss 4 weeks if I knew I had to pick one of them between Pena, Yordan, and Diaz, I think it's an obvious answer. Like, you're certainly not picking Yordan. I don't think you would pick Pena of those three as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here with the Astros conversation. Houston media critic, hope you're critiquing us now. He asked us, why are the Astros only playing one game against the Yankees at Minute Maid Park? Remember, that was the season opening series that got banged because of the lockout. So they're trying to use all, I think they ended up getting six games canceled from the start of the season. Is that right? So they're trying to move the other games around the schedule. So to squeeze in those six games, or the three games against the Yankees, one of them's being played at the end of this month, and then you're having a doubleheader against the Yankees fresh out of the All-Star break towards the end
in
of July.
Houston?
July 21st, doubleheader.
That is weird.
A day-night doubleheader against the Yankees. But that's why. It's because that series got banged at the start of the season. 713-780-ESPN if you want to chat some Astros. Also, when we come back, let's take a look at the weekend series with the Houston Astros. Also, that ESPN broadcast yesterday had some interesting things along the way. Plus, we'll check in on this little 34-game stretch the Astros just finished against weak opponents. We do it all when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Nate saying, I'm still having a hard time giving full confidence to this Astros team. This Sox series was prime example. 13-run blowout ball followed by JV having another bad outing and getting shut out. Then a hair away from losing the series yesterday. Litmus test coming tomorrow.
Well, okay, look, let me just real quick. In all fairness, last night, you had a fluke broken bat that caused one guy to get on. You had two key plays by the umpire at home on check swings that were swings in both cases they didn't call that extended innings. Luckily, they didn't do the damage they could have done, but I think that it would have rectified a lot in terms of the final score and the ability to even get less pitches under the belt of a guy like Javier.
Yeah, I think that the bat that broke that led to that infield single led more to the score than the check swings. The check swings ended up not bothering you because you would get out of the inning. Now, did it shorten the outing for Christian Javier? Maybe.
He was already on a high pitch count.
I don't think he goes another inning, right? Like, he got the next guy, so I don't think he goes another inning. So, like, were those sting? The problem with those plays is that, like, oh, that could have got you out of the inning in Javier's case. I don't think that Javier gets another inning regardless of that. And then in Ryan Presley's case, like, all of a sudden, you don't call that check swing, and it goes from Ryan Presley to Ryan Stressley, but then worked out of it and did very well. See, this is kind of what we were talking about last week, I think, to Nate's point. And Nate, look, I don't think that you're off base with your assessment of the White Sox series, how the Houston Astros have spoiled us over this golden era of baseball. Because right now their offense is below average in Major League Baseball. There's no doubt about that. But they just took two of three against a team that was in the playoffs last year. They took 2 of 3 against a team that you beat in the AL Division Series. The Astros right now have the 3rd best record in all of baseball, yet don't believe in this team. The Astros have the 3rd best odds to win the World Series, yet they have to make a move at the deadline. Like, it's kind of bizarre to me. Like, is this year's Astros team right now, through the games that they've played, as good as last year's Astros? Probably not. They're pretty similar projections, though. Pretty similar plight to this point. 41-25 through 66 games. Pretty similar to where they were last year through 66 games. Is it as talented as the 2019 team? I think that was the most talented team in Houston Astros history. But the 2022 team relative to Major League Baseball in 2022 is just fine.
Yeah, I think, Jeremy, there's a lot of different ways when we talk about criteria that we've discussed in the past as we analyze this team. It could be, how do you stack up against yourself, like you just said, from 2017 and 19 to the best rosters that this team has seen. It's the other thing of gauging the landscape of every other team in the league. You know, in the past, you were the dominant big dog on the block, and when you got better, everybody took notice and stood back and said, I guess we're all playing for second for the most part because you're loaded for bear. This year, because the Yankees, who I'm considering more and more to be the Utah Jazz of Major League Baseball,
right.
You know, they always send a message in the regular season, but they always come up short since 2010 when it comes to the playoffs. So you can only hope that continues, but you have to take notice. We know Toronto got better. We know that, you know, those are the two teams that look like the top of the heap in the American League if it's not the Astros. But it's how you gauge the rest of the landscape, and now with extra teams that are going to qualify for the playoffs, you're looking at it more of a big spectrum and the cream of the crop, as opposed to in the past when you were looking down on everybody going, hey, if we do anything at all to enhance this team, we should be rolling.
Yeah, and look, I want to enhance this team. I think that the Astros currently, with the roster they currently have, there's a reason that they're 3rd in Vegas for best odds to win a World Series. Can they increase those odds? Yeah, absolutely they can. And I would be, you know, supportive of that if it makes sense. Like, if I'm not trading away my entire farm for, you know, a mediocre first baseman. Nate responded back, said, 100% I'm spoiled. I'm looking from an aspect of competing with the best. So am I. Again, this next 2 series will tell a lot. 8437, I would understand your argument if the Astros had played more than a bunch of bums this year so far. It's really the state of the American League outside of the American League East, if we're being completely honest with you. And what something that I find very interesting, too, and this is something that you've been very vocal about, you've brought up a lot, Blankers, mm-hmm. is the fact that the Astros have played a lot of road games. They've played 29 games at home this season. They've played 37 away. They're -8 in terms of the home-road split. The Yankees, who I agree with you, so far best team in the American League by a mile, they've played 36 games at home, 30 away. And the difference of playing at home, you know, offensively, usually you produce better at home than you do on the road. The comfort of being at your own home ballpark. The only exception that really comes to mind is when the 2017 Astros were better on the road than they were at home.
But no red eyes, no city to city. We talked about the fact they knocked out all of their 3-city road trips before they even got through the halfway point of the season, which is huge. And like you said, the friendly confines, even Dubon's home run last night. Well, guess what? That's part of the advantage of playing home. That's why the Yankees are knocking it, you know, so many home runs, because with the short porches and left and right and the big boppers they got and the comfort of being there, you know, more times than not, they're taking advantage of it. That's not to take a swipe and a slight at the Yankees. They're taking advantage of being at home, and, you know, teams tailor make their ballpark to fit the way they play the game, from the way they water down the infield or cut the grass mm-hmm. to the fences. And you take advantage of it. So that should be an advantage for the Astros as you get deeper into the season when you play more home games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Yankees, because I think that the Yankees so far to this point are the best team in the American League. There's a reason they have the best odds to win the World Series of any American League team. But it is kind of beneficial that they've played 36 of their 66 at home. The Astros have played 29 of their 66 at home. There's a gap there. I think the gap can translate to some of the offensive numbers as well. But there are some struggles with the Astros offense. There's no arguing that. 1460 text in. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. The thing I'm confused about this offense is the expected numbers. 3rd in expected batting average, 6th in expected slugging, 6th in expected WOBA. But all the real numbers just don't add up to that. I think it's just a lot of bad luck right now. We still have nearly 100 games left to play. Look, I'm a believer in the expected numbers. I think you have to look at the expected numbers to project what a team is going to be the rest of the way. But I'm also a huge fan of the real numbers. And the real numbers aren't great for the Houston Astros right now. To me, there's two big reasons of why I don't think the Astros are clicking like the way it seems like they should be clicking. I don't think it's a good enough. I don't think that the order configuration is ideal for this team. But more than that, it's the fact that this team's not hitting with runners in scoring position. If the Astros would be hitting better with runners in scoring position, rocket science here, they would have a lot more runs than they currently have. They've set the table. They've not always cleared the table so far.
No, you're right. And you know what? It's some of the things that we've nitpicked about this team that they, and again, because you're spoiled and because they've done it so well over the years. Yuli again last night with second and third and less than two outs. It was basically a guarantee last season. And this year, it's quite the opposite. He just isn't the same player. And especially with guys where he could really capitalize and bump up his stats in the process. But they do have the capabilities. We saw what happened Friday night. When this team does start to click, and God forbid for the rest of the American League, if everybody starts clicking at the right time at the same time, then there is hell to pay for every other team in baseball because they have the capabilities of beating you with the long ball, small ball, average, you know, moving guys around. And they did it with a 10-run inning to beat a White Sox team that I think is going to be in the playoffs at the end of the day. So that's why people still get their flashbacks and memory lock to say they could do it again. But age is a factor. Father Time is undefeated for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're still trying to figure out Bregman. For as good as he looked Friday night and looked like he was coming out of it, and even to the things that we were talking about, it seemed like he was focused on doing, going the other way, waiting a little bit. But then last night, you know, inconceivably, it looked like he couldn't get on top of a baseball to save his life. And even his foul balls looked like they were going to be outs that were going to, you know, behind home plate. And you're going, I see all the work he's doing. They highlighted it on the telecast. Why isn't he not fixing it?
Yeah, they were challenging him up yesterday, and they were beating him up yesterday. Yeah, he wasn't getting to it. You're right. He was in the bottom of the baseball and popping up a lot of pitches, and he did it in RBI situations too, which is
why they were striking
him
out
of the three hole
high and tight. He was swinging at bad pitches.
The one he chased in the, I think it was the second at bat. It could have been his first. I can't remember. One of his early at-bats, it was his first or second, where he chased one out of the zone. Like, that was like, oh, man, that's Bregman pressing there, because Bregman doesn't chase pitches like that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Corey saying, I'm not too worried about the Astros. Yes, the offense is struggling, but they're still third-best record in Major League Baseball. Our offense, quote, sucks, and yet they're still doing really well. It's scary if you think about it that way. The team is overall doing well. The Astros are below average league-wide in scoring runs per game, which you win by scoring runs and preventing runs. We all know that. And to your point, I still think there's a lot of runway with this team. I think there's a lot of upside with this team, offensively speaking. I think the pitching's pitching about, you know, close to as best as it could pitch. But like you mentioned, if Bregman can – look, his approach at the plate, still Alex Bregman. He's just not barreling up baseballs, which is a huge concern. Get him out of the three hole. But, you know, even if Yuli – and Yuli's starting to hit a little bit better in June. It's still not where you want it, but it's better than where he was pre-June. Or if you trade for somebody. Now, all of a sudden, Trey Mancini's like the example we use here. But if you trade for a first baseman who you can put in the three hole, this lineup has such a different makeup than it currently
has. But to my point and to respond to Corey – it's fine and dandy that they're going to win the division and they have that potential on the upside, but I'm measuring it against who they're going to go up against. It's not the same Yankee team of a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, because now they've added a Rizzo, who's a guy that can hit for average, he can hit for power, and he's got a quick bat to turn on it, especially if you got to play at Yankee Stadium in the short porch, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Judge with MVP numbers. You got Joey Gallo, who isn't letting you down. And Stanton, when he's healthy, and that's a big when and if, but when he has been healthy, you know, he is a dominant, you know, barrel to the baseball, big time numbers guy in terms of what he can do.
Swing of the bat.
Yeah. So those are the kind of, and their pitching's better. Their starting pitching has been a lot better. So, you know, you got Tyon, and you put him with Garrett Cole, and you've got, you know, a couple other guys.
Hector the Molester.
Yeah. The Magic Stash. You've got a lot of different possibilities for a Yankee staff now that's more complete, and that's why you have concerns. Because it's not the same old Yankees team that you've been able to put away when you played them. You've got to worry about them in a different light now. And don't sleep on the Blue Jays. So it's a tougher road, I think, for the Astros, and that's why there should be cause for more concern.
713-780-ESPN. Todd, the show on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's saying, how good is J.J. Mattekevich? Let's have that conversation when we come back. Would you rather see the at-bats at first base go to Yuli, or would you rather see them go to JJ? Also, let's get into that kid that caught the ball. A lot of conversation about that. What would we have traded that baseball for? What would our negotiations been like that when we return? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Last night at Minute Maid Park, we saw a J.J. Matijevic dong.
This ball is hit well to left field. Going back and looking up, and the boxes it is. J.J. Matijevic, he hits his first home run in the majors.
Stinks that
Wait,
Carl
right
Ravitch.
About now, Johnny Davis is going with a hoopty down through the drive-thru to get a Taco Bell. Every time we play the dong, it reminds me of that commercial of Johnny Davis.
I don't think many people are going to get the reference. I know
oh,
what
I
you're talking about.
I think they will.
713-780.
If you do or
ESPN.
You don't, let us know.
But here, we'll the people that don't get it, they're not going to text in. It's only the people that did get it that are going
to
text
That's
in.
That's not true. I think people would say, Joel, you're out. The chance to take another free shot at me. Joel's an idiot. What the hell
you
is he
watch,
talking about?
You watch commercials more than anybody I know.
They're part of the telecast in sports.
I do other things when I'm watching TV. Like, I'll play on Twitter during commercials. I'll do almost anything else, but I'll go get a drink. I'll almost do anything else
I
to watch
multitask.
Commercials.
I can do those things and still see the commercials.
I'm locked into my phone during commercials.
Me too. Sometimes, like, I tell myself, okay, the game is back on again. I need to put my phone away.
First of all, he's a Badger.
True.
And I don't know that if you were going to pick a kid from this draft class that's going to get a Taco Bell Nashville
commercial.
Yeah, it was
commercial. Weird that he got
a... It was kind of a weird choice, but kudos to him.
I need his agent.
Suddenly, I don't think a lot of people realize that it's a hoopty kind of car that he's driving through the drive-thru, too. Like, he hasn't gotten his first check yet.
All I noticed is that it was a Taco Bell commercial and that he was in it.
And his dad's behind him because I've known his dad forever. But yeah, I think that's cool. What was the other one that you hadn't seen?
I had seen it, but I can't quote it like you because I'm
barely
paying attention.
Snoop Dogg Corona commercial with Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I've seen it. I just couldn't quote it like you. You can quote them like movies. It's
C-O-W-G.
Amazing. Anyways, poor Matijevic. It's great that he hit a solo home run, his first big league hit, first big league homer. It stinks that Carl Ravitch had to call it. That's kind of gross. We'll get into the whole negotiations for the baseball in a minute. I was after that home run, though. Look, I don't know. I'm not going to go all in on this. I'm not going to stand on the table for J.J. Matijevic just yet. But I'll be honest, when he hit that home run, and I liked his ABs yesterday, had competitive swings, had a couple of pitches which he fouled back that he was right on, just couldn't connect, except for the home run. I asked myself this question, and I think that I was a bit of a prisoner in that singular moment, but would you rather see a brunt of those first base at-bats go to Yuli or JJ?
I'm going to go right back to what we were talking about. If this was against teams that are 500 or below, I would love to see JJ get more at-bats, and I'd love to see him get an opportunity because I still believe the Astros are going to win the game. But I think that because of the situation they're in now, with the fact that you're probably facing, at least in the short term, you know, series against good teams with, good players that are going to be sitting down for you, yeah. I'd be less likely to see JJ and more likely to see Yuli just because he's a pitcher that's been there, done that, seen a lot of these pitchers, and he's a hitter that's going to, you know, the moment's not going to be too big. I didn't like the fact that the graphic they put up till he hit the home run after he got really rung up on a bad pitch his first at bat was he's only had 7 at bats, 4 of them are strikeouts. This kid's, you know, let's see what this kid's got. And then finally hits a home run to kind of get him off his back. But that's why I don't think I want to throw him out there against the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm not to the point where I want JJ to be getting a brunt of the at bats. But I think I have a little bit of a timeshare going. Because, look, I don't think J.J. is going to be on this team much longer. I think when Jeremy Pena comes back, and if Aledmys Diaz does not go to the IL, the easy option back to the minor leagues would be Matijevic, right? So, like, you're not going to have a whole lot of time, assuming Diaz doesn't go on the DL and Pena's stint on the IL doesn't go all that long. Like, I do want to see him get, like, a third of the at-bats, like maybe a 70-30 work share. And look, I only think he has a few more days left on the roster. So if you really want to get him a look, you might need to give him another start or two before Pena's back or if Diaz does not go to the IL. That's something to monitor, by the way.
Yeah, and I think that, again, that there was a time for you to kind of audition others. But you know, I'm wondering, on that same level, you know, how much do you want to see Dubon? Just because to me, it's one thing to say what he can do defensively for you in the infield. It's another thing to realize from an at-bat perspective, you know, and I know they went out of their way last night to say the home run that he hit, which it actually looked like he got it a lot more than they were giving him credit for.
He hit 345. Yeah. I mean, it was.
Well, because it was in the alley, they made sure to say it was the only park that it would get out of.
Which is true. But I
that's
mean,
fine.
I think he still probably clears the left fielder's head. You know, I think it would have been extra bases.
Right. I think it probably been off the wall or something like that. But for the most part, I don't have any confidence when he comes to the plate. So do I want him to have more at-bats during a stretch when you're playing better competition? No. He's the only option you pretty much have at shortstop unless you want to do something stupid and slide Bregman over for just a short period of time.
Oh, you're talking about Dubon's home.
Yeah. So I look at Dubon and I'm like, you know what? Between Dubon and JJ, I don't want to see them both in the lineup at the same time. And I'm not at a point in the season against the opponents you're going to play where I'd like to get them their at-bats now.
Mattajevic's numbers in Sugarland, too, have been really good.
Yeah.
So I would like to give him I'm kind of torn because I really want both of them to get the at-bats. I know Yuli's been struggling, but again, we need 6 weeks to see if Yuli Gurriel can snap out of this.
Is it also safe to say we know who Dubon is? He's not going to change much. He's been in the league enough now.
He's a utility guy.
Yeah, you just know exactly what he's going to be. I don't think we know what JJ could be yet. And maybe if he can kind of duplicate or come close to what he's been doing in Sugarland, he's a guy for your future that you can see might have a home here, and you want to see just how much you can maximize of what he might be able to be as opposed to Dubon, who you already know what he is.
Well, I'm talking about Yuli, because you're not going to keep Mattajevic on the team instead of Dubon.
Right. But I still want to see what he is, right?
Right, because to get starts.
A lot of these guys we know are going to be AAA players that, you know, they can rip the cover off of it in AAA, and some guys just can't do it in the big leagues against better pitching. From a Yuli perspective, also, if he wasn't showing signs of getting better, of making better contact, he had a home run on Friday night, and you know what? And it seems like his at-bats are better. He's not falling as far behind fastball.
Yeah,
I would say, okay, it is time to sit him down.
Who would if both of these guys got every day at-bats for the rest of the season of the Astros at first base, who would have better numbers at the end of the year? From
Yuli.
Here the rest of the year, Mattajevic or Yuli?
I think Yuli. Just because he's seen all the pitchers before.
It says a lot about Yuli that I'm even debating it, right? 713-780-ESPN, what do you think? 713-780-3776. Lead story, at least if you listen to the folks at ESPN, was the dude, the kid, catching that pop-up in the home run, I should say, in the Crawford boxes, and the whole negotiation, ended up getting 6 tickets in the diamond seats, 6 pregame passes to batting practice. Originally, they didn't give him the Verlander jersey, got an Altuve ball signed, and then Justin Verlander, I think the ESPN people told him that that's what he wanted, and the Astros didn't give it to him, so he went in, said, nice catch, signed his jersey, and then eventually gave that to the kid as well. What would you have been asking for?
Can we say, first and foremost, let's face the facts that, again, from Astros PR hell, that they weren't going to give the Verlander jersey or the Yuli thing. And they, you can and I've heard stories before about when they send the negotiator, they literally are going to try and tough you in and guilt you into like not giving up as much.
But isn't it what you already have in stock though?
No, not a lot of times.
Huh.
Because the kid's coming back for batting practice and he's going to come back for another game.
But you have the tickets in stock. You have like the batting practice. Like,
but any guy will sign anything at any time. They should, right? Because we would do that with the Rockets if we knew that there was a special case or some kid, you know, came by or did something special, that the guys would be no problem. I think it's a combination. I think Verlander has always seemed to be that guy, and the stories that I've heard about the fact that even though he's a, you know, a future Hall of Famer, he's got all the money in the world, that he tries to sign on the wrong parts of the baseball, and he tries to intentionally like not give someone something that's, you know, like valuable.
I'm okay with that.
I don't think if that game's on ESPN that he gets the Verlander jersey.
We probably wouldn't have heard
about
it.
I think he got guilted into it.
We probably wouldn't have heard about it. I mean, unless Julia Morales is going up there to have like an interview with him, we would have never heard about it.
But that's a legitimate, just the way Buster Olney did it, I think that the way the cameras saw it, and then, you know, you saw the kid with the ball, and because it was his first home run ball, so now there is the curiosity of who got the first ever home run for this kid and the first hit for this kid. That I think that there was but I think that the ESPN telecast guilted them into the fact that, and I tweeted this last night, Astros felt discomfort in the kid asking for the Verlander jersey, to use their favorite word, because I don't think he would have gotten it otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, Verlander would have had to have known. I don't know if he would have known if that was an AT&T Sportsnet broadcast. I don't know. What would you have asked for, though?
I think even J.J. Mattajevic said it himself after the game, and the guys in the booth said, I think you start with a bat from somebody. because the bats are harder to find. They're personalized. They're their own. You know, there's not as many of them, and that's a cool memento. Baseballs you can get anywhere at these days. And I think you always start with you can start with a jersey or something else because we don't know what JJ is going to be. So you do want to get something for it of someone of significance. So take one of your all-star players or something like that and try, you know, shoot for the moon. Try and get a jersey or try and get a bat, but then negotiate fairly going, look, I'm not, you know, this isn't a Barry Bonds home run ball and I don't want $1 million, but I also know that, you know, you guys got enough stuff in that locker room. You could spare some things.
I would have asked for season tickets in the Diamond Club. I don't need the autographs. I don't need the jerseys. I don't need the balls. I'm a keep it simple, stupid kind of guy. I'm a minimalist. I don't like things, to be honest with you. I would have just asked for diamond seats the rest of the year. Season tickets
and
in the Diamond Club.
That's pretty much going to be out of the question.
Why? They have those tickets given away. They could do it every game if they wanted to.
They're extremely expensive, and those are the tickets that they least want to give away because the return on the investment.
But they don't sell them all.
They do to corporate.
There's always empty seats back there. If they can give them six
seats, there's always
in the
empty
Diamond
seats because corporate, the guys, the big money. Tillman's got, six or eight of them. He barely uses them.
I keep in my ball then. I'm keeping Matijevic's ball. If you want Matijevic's ball, you give me season tickets to the Diamond Club.
I don't think there's a whole lot of people that are going to lose the kind of sleep over a JJ home run as they would if that was a Bonds, you know, record breaker or a big time.
Well, I mean,
home
I'm
run.
Not giving Diamond. If I got Bonds record breaker, I'm selling that for the highest bidder on auction. Like, that's not going back to the Astros. That's not going back to Bonds. It's going to the highest bidder. J.J. Matijevic's first home run? Give me Diamond Club seats the rest of the year and we're good.
I would say that, you know, you get an Altuve jersey, you get a Verlander jersey, those are Hall of Famers. And maybe if you think J.J.'s going to be good, and the good thing about J.J., good on J.J., he said, look, he didn't ask for it, but I'll give him a bat when he comes to batting practice. I'll give him one of my bats. That's cool. Because now you got, you know, you didn't get he got the ball and you got something of his. So I think that's cool. I mean, for the most part, I don't like the fact that they come in kind of bullying you and telling you no if you're the Astros. Like, how bad do you want it? I mean, I got something that I have no problem keeping, but if you want it that badly, just at least be open to a negotiation.
713-780-ESPN, what you have asked for. 713-780-3776. Also, when we come back, would you rather win the Super Bowl or be a Hall of Famer with no rings? We'll discuss that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Nate's asking us, why did the mic keep going out while interviewing that kid? Well, deep state. I think that's what it was. Huge conspiracy about what was going on.
Batteries.
Yeah, that or just the signal. The frequency wasn't very good. As somebody who's had wireless microphones quite a bit, frequencies can be challenging.
That not only that, but those 9 volts, they burn through those things in a hurry for those wireless mic setups. Yeah. And the audio guys will tell you that as well. So it was a combination player. It was unfortunate because it was at the exact, you know, worst timing for, you can always redo a Buster only, you know, sideline hit about some guy in his last 10 games. You can't do it when you're interviewing the kid live in the bleachers after the big moment.
A lot of people saying tickets. Eric the driver saying $200 at the team store, 2662. I'm too nice. I probably would have given it to them for nothing and then regretted it for the rest of my life while I watch games from my couch. Nate said I'd ask for free beer every time I go to the game. That'd be great.
I mean, you think about it, too, from the standpoint of, and you guys know I'm a little bit more into this stuff than you are in terms of the memorabilia side of things, but I think you get something, especially from a future Hall of Famer. And people are out there saying, well, JV also devalued the autograph by saying nice catch. And I was going to say it's an investment because if you get an Altuve signed jersey, at a certain point of Altuve makes the Hall of Fame, and they had that graphic going and the comparisons last night, too. But I believe that if he makes the Hall of Fame, the jersey has value either to you or to others if you ever wanted to part with it, and that's big. Now, people were saying, well, because he put nice catch on it, he personalized it, and therefore he took all the value out of a Verlander signed jersey. Not true. He didn't put the kid's name on it, and it actually makes it more unique, a one-of-one, because you can refer to it with the video backup and say, this was the jersey that was traded for the home run ball that was on ESPN, and it actually has more value, I think.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know how much that stuff's worth. 9076, I would have requested Yordan Alvarez signed bat, Kyle Tucker signed jersey, and partial season tickets behind the dugout.
A buddy of mine caught Yordan Alvarez's first home run ball.
What did he get?
And they negotiated a deal where I believe he got a signed Jordan jersey and a signed Jordan bat, and he got some tickets to a game. But and I could text him. But I remember that was a big deal at the time because, you know, there was the hype around Jordan when he came up. But I think that's a fair deal. If you get the guy, especially if he's like a potential big-time player, you get a signed game-worn jersey and a signed bat in exchange for the baseball that means so much to him. I think that's fair.
Yeah, not bad. Carl Ravage had a moment with the Dusty Baker, the Astros manager, yesterday. I'm not a big fan of Carl Ravage.
Too much hair for you?
The hair?
Nah, everybody always is bagging on the... They're always like, is it his hair? It's game show hair? It's
people bag on Carl Ravage's hair?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, people I used to work with.
I think he's had some work done.
Yeah, I think you're right. People I used to work with had real issues with Carl Ravage's hair.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I just don't like Carl Ravage because I think his baseball takes are whack, and I don't think he's giving the Astros a fair shake. But check this out yesterday. He interviewed Dusty Baker before the game. They played back some of it during the broadcast, and then they you could go to YouTube, listen to the whole interview. But this actually aired on ESPN yesterday. A really uncomfortable moment, at least in my opinion.
Today is Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. We're in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. You're obviously a black man, as you told us a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Can't change that. What does this day mean?
What? You're obviously a black man. You just told that a few minutes ago. What? You can't change that? My goodness, Carl Ravage.
Carl suddenly went without sight and without memory. I don't know how that happened.
You know how people say they don't see color? Carl Ravage literally does not see color because he had to rely on the good word of Dusty Baker for Carl Ravage to understand that Dusty Baker was a black man.
The clip doesn't have the context of him having said that, you know, shortly before. But I just imagine Carl being like, wait, what?
Right. Yeah. That was
a black man?
That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard come out of somebody's mouth on television.
It was awkward. Awkward to say the least. And you know what? They overpromoted the whole ESPN YouTube or YouTube channel too.
Yeah.
Like, don't force feed me. The reason why you get the only game on Sunday night is I don't need to go anywhere else for any of the other parts of the interview. I'm tuning into you for the reason for all of that.
Well, it was like 9 minutes, and like the last 7 minutes, Carl asked Dusty about things in like in his locker room, and Dusty like showed him every single picture. He's like, "Oh, here was whenever I knew Hank Aaron. Here's when I went to the concert of Jimi Hendrix." Like, Dusty started to name drop.
Dusty is a notorious name dropper.
Yeah, and Dusty actually mentioned that too. He goes, "I hope people aren't thinking I'm name dropping," but it was kind of funny. The David Cone, Justin Verlander one, they had one together too, where they talked for like 12 minutes. That one was really good. There was just nothing that entertaining. They were talking about like, when could your kids start throwing curveballs? Like, it was really good if you're a baseball nerd, mm-hmm. But nothing all that entertaining. 713-780
ESPN. We were talking about that last week.
Yeah, that's kind of what kind of caught my attention. Like, and they talked about like weighted baseballs. I mean, stuff you really don't want to hear. If you do, go to their YouTube page. 713-780 ESPN. Do you hate Carl Ravage as much as I do? But I want to ask you this question, and you can weigh in too, Hive. Would you rather win the Super Bowl, if you're a football player, obviously, would you rather win the Super Bowl or be a Hall of Famer with no rings?
Man, I would, I think I would take the Hall of Famer.
Pro Football Focus tweeted this out a couple days ago. Would you, it's two rings, Hall of Famer with no rings. You would take the Hall of Famer with no rings?
I would. Because that means I validated my career. I mean, you know what? That means I was good enough to play at a level and played it at a high enough level over the years to be respected as my peers as one of the best to ever play the game. If sometimes the ball doesn't fall your way, or as we were just talking about with the Astros, or, you know, just by weighing the level of competition, if you run up against a Michael Jordan and you never win it, but you're Charles Barkley or Karl Malone or, you know, whoever, John Stockton, you know what? That shouldn't diminish the fact that you were a badass, you know, player for a lot of years.
Would you rather be a Hall of Famer with no rings or win a ring? 713-780-3776. Look, you're very competitive. I'm very competitive. I think we're very competitive as the Killer Bees. But this is your livelihood and this is your job and your career, right? So, like, the primary focus, and like people always, oh, it's not about the money. Bull BS. Like, it's about the money. So if like this is my livelihood and I have a 10-year window to make as much money as I possibly can for the rest of my life, the rest of my family's life, and maybe even like my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, depending on how good I am, and if I'm a Hall of Famer, that means I'm doing pretty darn good. give me the Hall of Fame career with no rings, because you could win a ring and be like a one-year journeyman that's making the league minimum $500,000 as opposed to being like a $50 million, $500 million man. So, like, yeah, winning is great, and winning a Super Bowl would be fantastic, but I'm not going to sacrifice the career earnings of what I would have as a Hall of Famer just to win one ring and not even know, like, what role I have on that team.
And plus, you know, we haven't even talked about the endorsement opportunities, right? If you're a Hall of Famer, and that means you're an all-star probably, and it's not just your salary, you're going to have people both locally and nationally knocking down your door consistently saying, I want, you know what, it's not often that you get Boban to be able to be in a commercial, you know, the commercials he's in, other than the anomaly that's Boban. It's the best players that get the commercials, the State Farms and the, you know, the different ad campaigns, yeah, as well as the money and the lucrative endorsement deals. So you got to believe, overall, your quality of life. It was Malcolm Butler that had the interception in the Super Bowl, and Brady gave him the MVP truck. But for the most part, that was it. I mean, the rest of his career was basically a disappointment, as opposed to guys that are in the Hall of Fame that are still rolling in it.
And even that was one player. Like, that was just one dude who was actually a starter. Like, what about guy number 53 on that team that we don't even know their name? That might have played 3 years in the NFL and might have made up $1 million over the course of their
career. I think about
it
just from my own experiences. If you're talking about John Tabak and Pete Chilcutt and Chucky Brown and guys that can say that they were NBA champs, but overall, they were journeymen. You think about all the teams Chucky Brown played for in the CBA and you know, and internationally. Mario Elie played in how many different countries before he made a name for himself in the NBA? And he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's got, what, four or five rings. So, you know, unless you win multiples, if you're just going to win one, I just think for overall, for your life and for your legacy, it's better to be a Hall of Famer than a Super Bowl champ.
A bunch of people are texting in, 713-780-3776, saying, like, it's Barkley or Robert Horry. And, like, Barkley obviously didn't win the ring and had a great career and has made tons of money, whereas Robert Horry has a lot of rings. But Horry was pretty popular, especially in the city of Houston. How about another one? Like, I feel like there's even a bigger gap between Barkley and Horry, and I even think you can make it local. Like, would you rather be Jeff Bagwell or would you rather be Derek Fisher? Like, give me Jeff Bagwell and the money that he's made over his career as opposed to Derek Fisher sliding into home plate on the Alex Bregman walk-off in 2000.
Oh, that Derek Fisher. I thought you meant the Lakers Derek Fisher.
No, the Astros Derek Fisher. Like, would you rather be Bagwell or Fisher? Because Fisher has a ring. Fisher was part of the 2017 Astros. He has a World Series ring. Would you rather be Derek Fisher or would you rather be Jeff Bagwell?
Yeah, I mean, you can go up and down the list. You look roster by roster on the teams that have won it. And a lot of times you go, there's how many times on Wikipedia or otherwise you go, oh, wait a minute, he won a ring? And then you remember that random time that so-and-so was picked up at the trade deadline, you know, or whenever they, you know, they got a chance mid-season and they ended up getting a ring or sitting on the end of the bench and collecting some jewelry. But at the end of the day, did they earn it? Was that something they're known for? No, not even close to a guy that had a hell of a career.
The money makes this question, like, it kind of takes the question.
I think it makes it a no-brainer.
Well, but I think it takes it yeah, but that's not the goal here. Like, I think it's an interesting question when you just ask, and it's fair to bring up. But if you take the money out of the equation, I would take the rings. With the money, sure.
Rings. I think that's the difference,
bring
too.
Rings.
No, like multiples mean something.
Whatever. I'll take a single ring over the Hall of Fame. Yeah, if we're talking about
Money's the same?
Well, if we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, give me the money. If money's the same, I would much rather win a championship than make a Hall of Fame, without a shadow of a doubt.
Now it's changing the question a bit. And I think it's changing the question to the point where now you're going to get it to a more difficult answer.
That was my goal when I asked the question.
Well, you didn't phrase it well.
Like, Robert Horry can make an argument he belongs in the Hall of Fame because he has a bigger jewelry collection than most. But when a guy averages less than 10 points a game and doesn't do the kind of things that a Dennis Rodman did, I don't think that he's worthy of the conversation. When you talk about people that are in the Hall of Fame, that meant that you were a badass for the majority of your career that is going to be revered and respected for decades to come. Which means that you did your job better than most.
If the money's the same, I'd rather have the ring than the Hall of Fame. If the money's the same, if it does not change my lifetime earnings, give me the team accolade over the individual accolade.
But that's one day in the sun as opposed to a career of success, longevity, and respect and ability.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're going to step away for a minute. When we come back, NBA draft is on Thursday. Sam Amico covers the NBA. Let's pick his brain on the NBA draft. We'll do that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about New Brakes. I always tell you about New Brakes because it's the only place to go to get your brakes done the right way, but it saves you time, which is saving you money because you don't have to go to a brake shop. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. You don't have to be at the mercy of a mechanic that's having a bad day or it's slow in the shop. Nope, they come to you to do what they do so you can be doing other things, multitasking, at the job, doing emails and meetings and all the things you need to do so you don't fall behind. At the house, it could be a honey-do list or cutting the lawn or doing whatever you need to do around the house while they're fixing your car and your brakes in the driveway or in the garage. It's really simple. All you do is go to nubrakes.com and book an appointment. They will ask you where you're at, where to meet you, tell you the time, and then show up and do the job in less than 45 minutes. It could be a complete brake job to just new pads. They do it all, and they do it with the same brake parts as any brake shop in town. Their price is competitive with every brake shop in town. Their certified technicians only do brakes, so they're not going to try and upsell you on anything else. And they got many appointments in the course of a day, so they're gonna get the job done right, but they're not going to take their own sweet time, and they're going to move on to the next job on their list. But they're going to make sure you're satisfied, and they satisfy so many customers. I've had so many listeners come to me and say that is the only way anyone should do their brakes. The same way you don't shop at a grocery store for an hour and you have the groceries ready curbside or delivered to the door, that's why you go to newbrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 and save 10%. More than that, save time, which is saving you money. Go to NUbrakes. That's newbrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.